Thursday, March 13th, 1986. The preacher is Dr. Wayne Schmidt. The sermon text is Exodus chapter 1, verses 6 through 10, and also verse 11. The sermon theme is Into the River.
Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning is a portion of the Old Testament reading appointed for the day, Exodus chapter 1. And Joseph died, all his brothers, and all that generation. But the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly, multiplied and grew exceedingly mighty, and the land was filled with them. Now there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph. And he said to his people, Look, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply and it happen in the event of war that they also join our enemies and fight against us, and so go up out of the land. So Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, Every son who is born you shall cast into the river. And every daughter you shall save alive. In the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, amen. It took place a little more than 35 years ago, but the incident is still very vivid in my mind. I can picture very clearly, for example, the room in which the telephone was ringing, and I went to answer the phone. I recall as well the name of the person who was calling in. And I also remember his out-of-breath voice on the other end of the line. I was a faculty assistant, and part of my duties as a faculty assistant was to serve as a supervisor part-time in a high school college dormitory. It was an early evening on a weekend in spring. I answered the telephone, and the words went like this, Hello, tutor. Tutor was the name which we were given when we were dormitory assistants. This is Don Hartwig. Percy Ploggaman just drowned. The river had taken its victim. A young lad in his early teens. River waters are so important for our well-being. River waters are so pleasant for relaxation and for recreation. But river waters can also be very heartless and cruel. And so it was at the time that the people of Israel were in the land of Egypt. Upon the occasion of our text, the people of Israel too acknowledged the blessings of the Nile River, for the Nile River brought about the prosperity of the land in which the people of Israel were living. But at the same time that they recognized the prosperity of the land dependent upon the Nile River, so also that river was a symbol of dread. Not only of hope, but of dread, because the decree had been given, Every son who is born you shall cast into the river. Into the river. These were times of great trial and affliction for the people of Israel. The text says that there arose in Egypt a new king who did not know Joseph. I don't expect that it was that this new king had failed all his history courses. Perhaps what is meant here is that he did not have a friendly disposition over against the Hebrews in the land. And he was not going to adopt a posture of friendliness. And he had no inclination to show any gratitude to the people of Israel for the service which Joseph had rendered to the land of Egypt in the distant past. And so this new king arose over Egypt who did not know Joseph. And if he did not love the people of Israel, he surely had no respect for the God of Israel. He was satisfied with his pagan gods, And he was concerned primarily about his own security, his own prosperity, and the things that counted in life, the things of this world. But precisely at that point is where the bind came for this new king. He did appreciate having a slave population in his land, for these slaves could do so very many things for the king of Egypt. They could make him look great and good. They could bring prosperity to his land, and he could build some monuments with the slave labor. But he didn't want the population to become too large, because then it wouldn't be for his good. For these people might join enemies, and these people might throw off the yoke of bondage and walk out of the land of Egypt. And then who would be suffering? The new king over Egypt, who did not know Joseph. And so he proceeded to do something about the problem. First of all, he increased the workload of the Hebrews, and that didn't decrease the population in the least. And then he wasn't quite as sophisticated as 20th century abortionists, but he accomplished some of the same goals. He instructed the midwives to kill the male children in the birth process, and they did not obey the command of the new king over Egypt. And then the last step of madness, every son who is born shall you cast into the river. The inspired writer Moses does not tell us about all the grief and the pain and the agony which came upon the people of Israel as this decree was being implemented. But we know the natural response to heartache and pain in life, don't we? We ask where God is, and we ask why he sees fit to inflict pain upon us. And I suppose the people of Israel, too, looked back to the days of Abraham, and they recalled that the Lord God had said to Abraham, "Fear not, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." And he looked like a shield here, didn't he? Didn't he have ears to hear? Didn't he have eyes to see? Didn't he love the life which he was creating, that he brought these problems upon his very own people? Days of trial and agony and tribulation for the people of Israel. Just a moment. Let's not be too hasty with our questions and answers that are so judgmental. For at the very moment that the children were being thrown into the river of the Nile, the Lord himself was effecting a salvation and a deliverance which would transcend all bounds of space, geographical space and time. The Lord was remembering his promises. A long time before, when Jacob, the father of Joseph, was invited to come to the land of Egypt, Jacob was reluctant to go, and the Lord came to him and told him that he should not hesitate to go, for the Lord had something in mind. He was going to make Jacob's descendants a great people in the land of Egypt, and so indeed the Lord had done. The people were so great that the king of Egypt was afraid of what might happen with them, and a promise was fulfilled. And another promise was fulfilled too, for the Lord had told Abraham that Abraham's descendants would be sojourners in a land that was not theirs, and the people would be afflicted there, and they would serve, but the Lord would deliver them in 400 years, and that period of time has now come to an end, and the Lord is ready for his deliverance. And so it was that when the Lord was afflicting the people, he was planning a deliverance that would be important for them and important for the whole world, for the people of Israel were ready to go out of the land that they might fulfill their destiny, that from their loins there might be born the Savior and Redeemer of the world, who would deliver us from sin, death, from the power of hell and Satan. That was the Lord's plan. Deliverance was there. And we know when the Savior came that there were many days, too, in his life when things look dark and dreary. In the Lenten season, we focus upon his passion, and what a pitiful sight that is at times. He's called the Son of God, but there he stands so wretchedly being beaten, and all forsook him and fled, and so few stood there at the cross, and it looked like all was lost. But even while Satan appeared to be winning, Satan was losing the battle, For upon the cross, the Son of God was giving his life for you and me. With his stripes, we were indeed being healed. And death would not be able to hold him, for he would come forth from the tomb. No one can thwart the plans of the eternal God as he seeks to deliver his people. Even in the times of tribulation, he sits in the heavens and laughs at those who are afflicting the people of God. When we look at the cross and the deliverance in that way, we recognize, too, how in every aspect of life, the Lord is our shield and our exceeding great reward. We might not have to throw our children into the river, but we do have days that aren't so bright. And in those days of trial and tribulation, we say, the Lord, who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up freely, will also with him freely give us all things. Therefore, redeemed, restored, and forgiven, I to him surrender. He is my soul's defender. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.